From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium in Pasadena, California, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, we are all excited. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why we're excited. We're excited because we are back in Southern California. And we are excited that Southern California is still here. And we are excited because legendary pro skateboarder Tony Hawk will be joining us to play Not My Job. But we are also excited for Carl Castle, our friend and colleague. This week marked the 30th anniversary of his debut with Morning Edition. It was November 5th, 1979, that Carl Castle, wearing the tie-dye daishiki and the mutton chop sideburns that he sported in that era, walked in, did his first Morning Edition newscast. This after what was already a long career in broadcasting. And I promise you, what we are about to play for you is genuine. This was, when Carl was a morning DJ, this was his theme song.
It's the Carl Castle Show.
Talks and tunes in Goldsboro Radio.
Carl Castle plays the best.
The tunes that are your favorite requests.
WGBR is the place to dial, no matter where you are.
So Carl... How did you ever go from that to this?
Well, Peter, a few years ago on Morning Edition, I was doing a newscast, and I did something, and I got punished for it.
There you are.
And so here I am.
Help us start the second tri-decade of Carl's illustrious career. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, hi, this is Linda Kopecki in Longmont, Colorado.
Hey, beautiful Longmont. I've been out there. Lovely place. Are you one of those Colorado people who's constantly out there skiing and shoesing and hiking and biking and stuff like that?
I don't ski.
Oh. Aren't you required by law? Doesn't the ski police come and get you if you don't ski?
They do. Just don't tell them about me.
I won't.
No. I hike, though. So.
That's good. Well, let me introduce you to our panel this week, Linda.
Okay.
First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Next is one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, is Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne. Hello.
Finally, it's a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mo.
Linda, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home answering machine. Ready
okay.
to go?
I am.
All right, here is your first quote.
Man up and say I'm fat. Say it.
That was the battle cry of one Chris Christie, who, while still perhaps big-boned, will soon be called what after his victory on Tuesday?
Mr. Governor.
Yes, Mr. Governor of New Jersey, in fact. The Republicans were claiming a major victory in the off-year elections on Tuesday, bragging about taking two governorships from the Democrats. Democrats, however, countered. They said the GOP had a mixed night because one of those states was New Jersey. Nonetheless, Mr. Christie was delighted to beat the incumbent, John Corzine. He had spent millions of his own money on negative ads, which dwelled on Christie's figure, thus Mr. Christie's challenge. At his victory rally, Christie declared, "The era of big governor is back."
When Christie sits around the state capitol,
yes, he
sits around the state capitol.
Okay, all right. How fat is he?
He's so fat.
Yes. Fat.
No, really, how fat is he?
Christie?
He's pretty fat.
Oh, my God. He's
a hefty man.
He's a hefty man. When he sits down in Trenton, Bayonne flips into the air.
He is his own rest stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Virginia, also a gubernatorial election.
He's exit 14.
Yeah.
He lives in South Orange, West Orange, and Orange. I love. Look, this New Jersey's a beautiful state.
It is the Garden State.
Yes. Oh, right.
The Twinkies grow in the wild.
Yeah, clearly. Not a vegetable garden, perhaps, but
no,
garden
nonetheless. Actually, to tell you the truth, you know what it is? They're changing its nickname. It's now the Olive Garden State.
When you're here, you're governor.
Exactly.
When you're that big. If you were Governor Christie, you'd be home by now.
All right. Your next quote is somebody defending some fuzzy economic math.
If I give you a raise, it's going to save a portion of your job.
And that was a spokeswoman for the Department of Health and Human Services. She was defending the funny ways that the government was adding up all the jobs it, quote, saved via what big program?
Stimulus?
Yes, the stimulus pack. We got it.
Oh.
Last week, Joe Biden bragged that the nearly $800 billion stimulus program had, quote, created or saved more than 600,000 jobs. This week, though, people started poking into the numbers. It turns out it's really complicated. You calculate how many jobs you've saved by adding up the stimulus money you get, divide by the number of employees you give raises to, multiply by a constant provided by the administration, raise it to the power of Biden,
and
kazing, the depression's over.
Yeah. And well, then you rip the whole thing up and say 600,000.
Exactly.
And 12 people are left on the bus. Sorry. Now, you know what bothers me about this is that this quote is from somebody from Health and Human Services. Shouldn't she be concerned with the swine flu?
Yeah, why is she even thinking about anything else? That's true. This is true. In the report, one shoe factory said that they saved nine jobs, because they got one $800 order of boots. But hey, elves work cheap, so...
I'm with Mo on the whole, shouldn't they be working on the swine flu thing?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is this a recovery or are these recovery-like symptoms? How do we know what strain of recovery we have?
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, Lauren, here's your last quote.
You can call us anything you want, but you also have to call us world champions.
Now, that was a man named Brian Cashman. He was laughing off criticism of the team he runs. What is the team? It would
be the New York Yankees.
It would be the New York Yankees. The Yankees... won their...
Boo.
Yay!
Boo. Boo.
The Yankees won their 27th World Series, but that news pales next to the fact that the team's general manager just gave us permission to call them anything we want. So, we worked on this. How about...
a group of wildly overpaid, egotistical mercenaries whose pinstripes are actually artfully lined up steroid needles sewn into their uniforms.
That's one.
Sounds very practical.
Oh, you think? Or
those bastards.
Anybody else?
I got nothing.
He's
a lifelong Yankee fan. Right. Couldn't be happier, but, you know.
Now, this World Series, though, Adam will back me up on this. The World Series was seen as a redemption for Alex Rodriguez. He is the highest-paid athlete in the history of U.S. sports, and he historically has choked on the big stage. Not this time, but because of the attention on him this last week or so, we have learned some great things about him. For example, an ex-girlfriend told Us Weekly that he has not one, but two paintings of himself as a centaur in his bedroom. This is true. She says this. Yes. Why do you need two paintings of yourself as a centaur? Well, because in one of them, he's the horse's front.
Oh. So is he a switch hitter? Is
that... Apparently. He does both sides. Carl, how did Linda do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. Three correct answers. So, Linda, you win our prize.
Well done.
Okay.
Well done, Linda. Thank you so much for playing our game.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.